Sign up for the Japanese Anti-Kaiju Defense Force with us this week as we take a look at a truncated anime film adaptation of a numerical monster manga. Can this theatrically released version measure up as a feature film, or will we be stuck on entrail duty cleaning up the guts of this dead kaiju? Join us as we explore the most truly original kaiju manga series since Evangelion. This is Kaiju vs. History, Kaiju Number 8, Mission Recon.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your Defense Force Rifleman of the Kaiju Corps, Patrick. And joining me is the often overlooked Kaiju's number 6-7, Miles.
What?
Hey. They get into the previous big number of Kaiju, but in the series, but it is so funny that it is starting with 8. Miles, can we start off this week talking about how triggered I was watching this movie and the series every time they joked about how old Kafka was being 32 years old.
they keep calling him old man.
it's so funny, and this is
something that happens in a lot of Japanese media. Like old people are called old in their 30s, and then Final Fantasy VIII is a great example of this. People are teachers when they're 18. As Quistis was in Final Fantasy VIII, I believe she's supposed to be 18 and Squall was supposed to be 16 or 17. It's a really weird situation. Yes, that is something that does happen in anime, especially anime and manga, quite a bit.
Well, you get aged out of the core at 33, so I guess that is very old for a anti-kaiju defense force member.
Yeah, but that's the reason I can kind of let that one kind of go, because it's not just being ageist. It's like, no, this is like the army. It's like, you have these things, and if you want to be an active member of this combat group, you need to be between these ages.
Yeah. I don't think they give a reason, but you need to be able to unlock their suit's powers. So I guess that maybe there's some ageism there.
Patrick, have you read this manga or watched the anime prior to this movie?
Yeah, I am not caught up with the manga. I started watching the anime, but I was like, I'm out of sync with what I've read, so I don't want to like read past that. So I haven't watched all of it either. But I really enjoy the manga, so I kind of want to stick with that. They have like 13 volumes out, I think, already.
Oh, wow. And was this theatrically released in the States at all?
This film, yes. I'm pretty sure both.
I mean, that it makes sense to me now, because in this era, we seem to be getting a lot of those big anime films, at least for like a one-night-only Fathom event situation.
Yes,
I think it was, Demon Hunter does get a full weekend, but I mean, it scared up like 30 million.
Yeah, distributed by Crunchyroll and Sony, it was a weekend release. It was April 13th, 14th, and 16th. So maybe it was like weekend and a weekday of 2025. Because I remember when it happened, I was like, oh man, I kind of wish I can go see this. But it was another thing where it's like, I didn't want to get ahead of where it was in the manga either. And for good reason, because we'll talk about how it's chopped up a little bit here. But yeah, we decided to, because there is a movie version of it, even though it is compilation, to just do the movie as opposed to talking about the manga, the anime series, which we've done in the past. I'm kind of glad we did. We've done this once before with the Evangelion Death and Rebirth. Was that the compilation film?
Yes, that was the... Yeah. That's being kind, because...
Yeah, as a film...
As my rating said, it failed as a compilation film and was more like... It felt like a very, very long last time on.
So we've recorded it, and you can go listen to it. We did an episode with the Final Forum podcast, which is a Dragon Ball Z podcast. And spoilers, we're going to have an episode with them here on our podcast as well in the future. But they talk, the hosts there, about how these films, especially the compilation ones, are usually done in the form of like more advertisement for the show itself than its own movie. And that's probably been the case for, you know, Ultraman movies that are compilations as well. It's a good way to get your product in front of other eyeballs. You know, people that go to the movies as opposed to watch on TV. And I think the same can be said for Kaiju number 8. I think getting this into theaters is twofold. It's for new people that maybe do want to watch something like this on the big screen, and for fans already of the show that want to see that version. And oh, I will say, I thought this movie was a lot older or longer than it was, but it is about an hour and a half. And then after the credits roll, there is an episode, kind of like a beach episode of the show that is, I forget what episodes it's between, but it is content that I don't think was released on TV. It's one of the characters. Gotcha. It's like Hinami's Day Off, I think is the name of the episode. Did you watch that?
I watched a good chunk of it. I realized this was like an ancillary thing, I was like, you know what? I'll probably appreciate this more when I actually watch the show.
Yes.
Because, yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Compilation movies they're a tricky thing because you want to give the audience something that hasn't watched the thing. That's usually the reason. It's like, hey, this thing has done well, or we're trying to repackage this thing and deliver to you as to why you should maybe check this show out. Because to me, a compilation film's main thing is, hey, watch the anime. But you also want the film to be a cohesive, singular film. And this is where a lot of things tend to fail. I mean, I was very critical about Evangelion's Death and Rebirth. Was it Death and Rebirth Squared? Is that what they're calling it now? I greatly disliked that. One, as a compilation film, and two, as something that would get me to watch the anime, because that one's so strangely put together. I think one of the best examples, and you can listen to Patrick and I talk about this probably about 10 years ago at this point, is the original Gundam trilogy of compilation films. I feel like those three films were excellent in one.
They were great.
Yeah. They make great films that you can kind of watch almost like the Star Wars trilogy. And they also like make you want to watch the anime to see all the stuff that you miss, because one of the problems with compilation films, and we're going to touch on this, is you lose a lot of the character moments because you're trying to, you know, aggregate all of the plot points and the action. And so a lot of character stuff can get lost. So I'm really interested to talk about that with this particular movie. Before we do that, Patrick, I need you to tell me what's in a title.
Well, yeah, title is the title of the manga and anime. Kaiju number 8 comes from the series titular hero in the monstrous form, the transformed form of Kafka Hibino. Mission Recon, the subtitle, I don't think it's a great title for the compilation, because what does it mean? You know, it's not super descriptive. Recon of what? You know, mission recompilation or compilation might make sense. And that is what the title is in Japan. It literally translates as Kaiju number 8, first season compilation there. You know, because this was released, of course, in Japan as well. And I think it does a good and a bad job of compilating the season 1. It definitely hits the highlights, which is the inciting incidents, the first couple episodes that, you know, gives Kafka his powers, and then a little bit of his training, which is 4 episodes or so. And then this final attack, which is like the last 30 minutes or so. But it leaves a good amount out, which is there is a lot of kind of downtime between the action where Kafka and the other kind of recruits in his class, you know, bond and talk a good deal. And I feel like that's that kind of slice of life stuff is where it does good to balance from like the really kind of almost gross out kaiju action of the series. And it's not cut out completely, because the manga and the anime both have good use of comedy, including, I forget what they call it, but the comedy stylings where, like, you know, a giant snot bubble will drop out of a character's nose, and when they act shocked, their eyes turn white and they get that the ghostly face, but like very cartoonish as opposed to, I guess, anime stylings of interactions. And our main character, Kafka, is pretty humor coded, I would say, as opposed to something like, I don't know, My Hero Academia. He's not really a jokester, the main character there, but he's Kafka. I mean, just from his name, you understand that he's a bit of a tragic, comedic tragic character.
Yeah, I mean, they do a lot of good stuff with him. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think where this movie kind of lives and dies is its inability to wrap up the entire first season. And that for me is kind of a big deal. But well, let's start with, you know, the actual basis of Kaiju Number 8.
So the first season of the show only has 12 episodes,
I think. 12? Yeah, the movie goes out of 10, and I think there's 12 episodes.
Oh, right. Yes, because they're... I have it all here in my notes. So the first 30 minutes of the film is episodes 1 and 2. And that's, you know, introducing the main character, introducing kind of his, at first his foil, but then his very good friend in, what's his name? The blonde haired kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have the characters in front of me, hilariously. Reno?
Yeah.
Good character design, I would say, and we'll talk about this a little bit more outside of their suits, but we'll get very samey when they get in their power suits. But I like him a lot. The first 30 minutes is cutting about 7 minutes, I think, from each episode, because I think they're about 22 minutes long, 23 minutes long, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. So it's not a ton, but it is paring those down, which is good because, you know, pacing wise, I think it probably helps speed up the first act of this movie. Episodes 7 and 8 are a lot more background for Kaiju Number 9. And I think there's like another fight with him. They are omitted from the film entirely because we do get kind of truncated versions of episodes 4, 5, and 6, which is the training middle part. But episodes 7 and 8 are cut, and we kind of fast track to the introduction of Kaiju Number 10 in the third act of the film, where this humanoid Kaiju attacks the Defense Force base. And the movie ends at the very beginning of episode 11 in like the post-credit sequence. And I think episode 12 is omitted entirely. And that's kind of where it leaves off before season 2, is everyone knows that Kafka is Kaiju Number 8. And I'm guessing I've not gotten that far in, I think, either the manga or the anime
show.
Yeah, I think that's where the series really picks up, where it's like, okay, he's going to be part of the Defense Force as well, and everyone knows that he's the super powerful Kaiju and hilariously underpowered Bruce Banner type human form.
This definitely has very much a Incredible Hulk meets Attack on Titan sort of feel to it.
Yeah, yeah. It was
except first, more enjoyable than both of those things to me.
Well, I was about to say, when I first started the series, I was like, oh, this is a bit too Attack on Titan for my taste. But it's very different. And
it is very, very different. And as someone who watched the entire first one or two seasons of Attack on Titan before wearing way thin on it, to where I didn't care where it went next.
There's a lot of other influences, and we'll start talking about the Kaiju themselves that are in this movie, at least. But I want to talk about the Defense Force first. They reminded me so much of the super soldiers from Godzilla Final Wars. I was wondering if there was some inspiration there. Obviously, they also remind me of the reconnaissance team or whatever from Attack on Titan, but because of their superpowered suits and the fact that they all have guns that they're shooting Kaiju with, it really reminded me of that scene where they shoot Ebra to death in the Godzilla Final Wars. It's so funny that you just Daka Daka, at least the, you know, we haven't really seen a Kaiju Number 8 versus huge Kaiju fight, skilled fight in the show so far, or in this movie. But I imagine that's where they're going to get to. It's like, oh, the guns aren't really doing much, or, you know, the what's her name? His childhood friend.
Mina.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot about this setup that I like. So we are in a world where kaiju attacks happen and happen with somewhat frequency. And our main character, Takaska,
Japan gets hit a lot more. So it is kind of like, you know, a tsunami or an earthquake kind of analog.
Yeah, and you have a team of kaiju cleanup crew. So we've seen a couple movies that have gone into that a little bit. So our main character, Kafka, is part of this kaiju cleanup crew, and is someone who once tried out for the Kaiju Defense Force and failed the test. And they get a new recruit who is kind of mouthy, feels a little show-offy, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be like the rival character. And I love they turn that trope on its head.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's set up definitely to be like, I don't know, just like in My Hero Academia, like some of the other students that are very antagonistic at first. The, whatchamacallit, you know, Harry Potter's our main character, Kafka's our main character, and then the evil blonde-headed Malfoys of the world are kind of like working against them. But
I try to no longer make Harry Potter myself.
That happens at first. Well, I know you also don't like My Hero Academia, so I was like, I should probably
one of those shows that I kind of want to give another shot just to see if it was just maybe has a bad weekend or something. When we did it for The More You Nerd, you can listen to it in that collection. I didn't care for it. Which is so funny because everyone's like, this seems like this is exactly your type of show. And I'm like, I know. And it's usually the things that I dislike the most that are like that. But yes, you're right. He is supposed to be, they code him as an antagonistic foil.
Yeah. He kind of also looked a little like Todoroki from that show. Yes. Half of his hair at least. But yeah, he turns into, I wouldn't say the Watson to Kafka's Sherlock.
No, it's more.
But he's in the same boat as him. They both enter this training school and he's not the best student there. You know, he's also having to learn and grow.
But he keeps referring to Kafka with like honorifics.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is an old man.
Hilarious.
Mr. Kafka. Yeah. He's a pretty good character. He seems to be a
catty vibe to him.
Yeah. Yeah. He does have some, because Kafka is kind of like a joke in the Force. He does have some heat of some of the other Defense Force trainees in the third division.
Briefly, yes. Although I do love his interaction with the co-captain, and that the captain wants to put him through because he just thinks he's hilarious. That's one of my favorite bits consistently, is him. Like, it reminds me of like when they start miking up the players in Shoresy because all of their taunts are as popular as the actual hockey game. And I love this kind of idea that he was just like, no, this guy's hilarious. We have to put him through.
Yeah. Some other very fun characters are introduced, like Kikuru Shinomiya, who's like a little blonde haired girl. Who's like one of the most powerful recruits they've ever had, and eventually gets in, I think towards the end of the series, the giant axe where she's slicing kaiju in half. Very fun.
She's so Asuka coded.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because I think Asuka originally was going to be blonde, but
I guess she's not really blonde. Strawberry blonde. Yeah.
But very similar characters. There's definitely some influence from Evangelion in the series as well. Their suits look very kind of Evangelion pilot coded in some ways. But like I said, Godzilla Final Wars is my main thing. Let's talk about the kaiju a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, first things first, kaiju number 8 and all the humanoid kaiju, they don't do it for me that much.
I like them, but they are much more like modern age tokusatsu looking than anything else, which I love. Like if you like stuff like Garo, which is more of like a demon focused tokusatsu show, this design is going to make you very happy. It's very, very coded to that. I liked it.
Demon Slayer, not so much, but Chainsaw Man a little bit. And some of the kaiju kind of remind me as well, more demon-like. So the first one, or one of the first ones that they fight, is the Trichinophalia, which is like a spider with a human face and like spider-like human arms. It's very creepy, but it does not feel like kaiju. It feels like a demon, which maybe the kaiju in this universe are demons as opposed to the angels of Evangelion. But it
reminds me of something that I would see in Persona.
Yeah. That's a good one. Then what comes? Oh, the series also starts with the third division destroying Philonosoma, which is like a reptilian, like, I think, four legs design. Very simple, kind of like orange, not winning any awards. And it, I don't understand why, like, this one wasn't given a number, but it seemed pretty big. They rate them like hurricanes or earthquakes. Like, it was like a 7.8, you know, kaiju.
Yeah, which kind of reminds me of Pacific Rim.
Did you have any other kaiju that designs you really enjoyed here?
I like the Wyvern a lot.
Yeah, those were very
good. And I also like how they're being hurled like missiles at one point. Like the giant kaiju is just throwing like these little Rodans at the kaiju defense force as if they were projectiles.
Yeah, the Preondactyls are very cool. They turn into like a giant spirit bomb towards the end of that part. I like that all the kaiju seem to have one or more weak spots, and that's like where the Bruce Banner version of Kafka is very useful. He's like, oh, you have to attack them on their belly or their backside. The Preondactyls were all armored underneath because they're like flying over their enemies.
Yeah, so because
their backsides are weak.
Because of his time spent in the kaiju cleanup, he has an intimate knowledge of the anatomy of so many types of kaiju, including some that others just don't know. And I thought that was a really cool detail for him to have. Like, even when he's not being this kind of like superhero type character, like, they have him like, no, he's actually like super useful in terms of like, yeah, he may not have the attack power, but he can strategize and get the team to do certain things. And I thought that was a very cool angle for them to work with.
Yeah, makes sense, and it works from, you know, I don't know, kind of like I think of everything as a GM from Cosmic Crit, but like everything needs, you can't have just all superpowered monsters. Everything needs to have some Achilles heel or weakness to be able to exploit, and they work very well as unstoppable monsters until you get a critical hit or are able to exploit that weakness. I really like the middle arc where they're fighting the fungus monster that's spawning all the smaller Yoju style monsters. That seems like a video game mechanic where you have to fight all the babies before you take on the giant kaiju. And it was one of my favorite designs. I really liked, I feel like we haven't gotten that many mushroom kaiju before, so I enjoyed seeing that one. Yeah, not a huge fan of kaiju numbers 9, kaiju numbers 10.
I liked them, but again, I'm a fan of like weird tokusatsu stuff, so like they work better for me, I think.
Number 9 reminded me too much of the demon from Death Note, you know, the way he was sitting in the toilet, and
he also kind of reminded me of a version of one of those guys in the Ultraman anime.
Yeah. It's weird that like when aliens come down to Earth, like how non-human, but also they transform into human they are, you know.
I do very much like it, and I'm excited to see where that goes. And yeah, I like a lot of the cast. I would expect we get a little bit more of them in the actual series.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, this thing is extremely well animated. I think the music is fantastic in this show.
Shows like this really do spend a lot of their animation power on those fight scenes, and they look great. They have some amazing sequences that
look, you know, great. The needle drops are fantastic. My biggest complaint is like, for most of this first season, they really love doing these slow-mo, the teeth is almost around the main character's head. And I'm like, all right, we got to stop. After the third time, I was like, we got to stop this.
I was about to say, that won't affect you if you're watching the show, and it happens like weeks apart, I'm sure. But sure, if you're watching five of them in like an hour and a half.
Several times, in an hour and a half time, I was like, all right, we got to cut this out.
Because no one gets chomped by a monster in one of those slow motion montages, and it's like basically it's like, oh yeah,
by the way, because I've watched enough anime like this, and because, you know, especially I feel like they're expecting people to have Attack on Titan kind of memories and letting that hang a little bit, so that we might kill this character.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, especially with that first monster that was almost gonna eat Kafka, then it was almost gonna eat
Remy, and I really thought one of those might be done. I was like, okay, cool, this is where we're gonna go.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Like I said, I was surprised at how short it was, because the runtime watching it on Crunchyroll was said like 2 hours, but it has a whole half hour episode of the TV show, which is not really attached to the film, but it is for the film audience that watched the anime and got something extra for going to the movie theaters. Let's talk about how this works as a film, Miles. What's your enjoyment of this film? Where do you rate this as a movie?
So,
and did this work? Does this make you want to go back and watch the show?
So here's the thing: of the one of two things that it does, or that an animation, or sorry, an anime compilation film needs to do, it needs to, one, both function as a film, and two, you know, really make you want to watch the and. One of these, it does in spades. I had so much fun with Kaiju Number 8. I thought this was a blast. I love the characters. The music was awesome. The action sequences were fantastic. The animation was excellent. My problem is that for whatever reason, they choose not to finish the season. And they end it with Kafka...
A cliffhanger, for sure.
Yeah, they end it with a cliffhanger, and in a way that's not satisfying. It's not like, oh, this is an open ending. Like, if they had ended it with, like the scene with the Kaiju Number 9 in the bathroom, you know, with this kind of like, oh, someone's pulling the strings, that would have been fine. But the way they end it, where it's directly a to-be-continued, you really did need that bit of episodes, like, it was 11 and 12, really sewn in there. And to make this feel like a complete film. And I understand that may have made this movie 2.5 hours.
Yeah, they kind of wanted to end a bit more on a, you know, the battle finale, you know.
Right, which in that case, they should have cut a little bit elsewhere. I'm not sure where, but I mean, this is the problem when trying to edit down an entire season into a singular film. But that ending does leave me really cold. And it really went from something that was going to be a 9 out of 10 to an 8. Mm-hmm. Because I'm still extremely enthusiastic about this. This does sell me on the anime. I want to watch it, or at least read the manga. I think it's a blast in terms of personal enjoyment. How about you?
You said an 8 out of 10?
Yes.
I'm right there with you. As a film, I think I can get behind this series a lot more now as a TV show. And good news, you know, we've only watched about an hour and a half of this. I guess I've watched the episodes before, but the entire first season is like over 4 hours. So there's so much more meat on the bone. And in that way, I think it does do well to, if you're a huge fan of this and you took your friend to the movie who hasn't seen it, I think you'd both enjoy it for different reasons. And I think it is something that can get more people to watch the show. And I've not felt that way about a lot of other compilations. I have gone back because I was thinking about doing it for this podcast and watched some of the Ultraman compilations, and they're just never as good. Usually it's like the entire first episode and then like bits and pieces in between and then like the last episode. And while they do that here, I think the way that the anime and the manga are plotted out just work a little bit better. I do think the silly parts of the manga and the anime making it into this movie don't jive so well in an hour and a half format. I think, I don't know, just when you're able to tell a slower story, it's nice to have those bits of comic relief. But yeah, I think
it's funny, we both mentioned Tokusatsu. I was reading that, like, apparently his massive influence on the character designs were Tokusatsu.
That makes sense. I will say that this show, this manga, is probably popular enough that it will get its own movie, a non-compilation movie, like an original film, which usually happens after a few successful seasons. So I'd be surprised if they don't already have something in the works.
Yeah, because I know it's got, I think they have got two seasons, and I think they've announced a conclusion arc to the anime. I don't know if that has to do with the manga or if the manga's finishing up. I don't know.
I'm not sure either, but I think there's enough story to tell here that, like I said, they could make their own movie, and I think when that happens, it'll probably be a little more serious, but yeah, like I said, I'm giving this an 8 out of 10. The manga
did finish last year, so.
Oh, probably in Japan. I don't think it's done here.
Yeah, probably not. It's a total of 16 volumes, it looks like, plus some.
Okay. Oh, then, yeah, there's not that many left. So I'm giving an 8 out of 10. For the technical aspects, I'm dropping it a bit. While there's very great voice acting, animation, and I enjoyed the monster designs, you know, some are hit or miss for me. And I think it's a bit simple of a story when you're cutting out so much of the character stuff. But it does a good job of sublimating and concentrating down 12 episodes and cutting out episodes that don't really, you know, make sense for the main story of a person that transforms into a kaiju, joins the anti-kaiju force, and then has discovered himself to be a kaiju. Like, that is the plot of this movie. So it does well in telling that story. But yeah, I think that what saves the series of being its own good thing is the character development. And yeah, the one thing that I really didn't like about this originally when I started to read the manga was so many of the characters look so similar. Their suits are all kind of uniform, and the anime does help that with pops of color with their hair, but I kind of wish their suits were accented like Power Rangers. So, you know, or maybe they had some other adornment, like the captain looked a whole bunch different than some of the others, or they had different kinds of armor. I don't know, just something. The at least the recruits all kind of have the same look to them. And it's a little dungy, little boring. So I'm giving it a 7 out of 10 for its technical aspects. What about you, Miles?
So here's the problem for me. I really, really, really push back against how this movie ends.
Mm-hmm.
And to the fact that it kind of takes me out of the movie, because it doesn't just end on like a to be continued, or it doesn't really end like with a good narrative like stopping point. It's just like, oh, we just stopped. And and knowing that there are two other episodes that cover what happens here, because the season could end openly and stuff, that's fine. But the fact that there are two episodes that weren't covered at all really, really, really distracts me, because I mean, as soon as the movie finished, I was like, what the hell? And I, you know, went to my computer to see if that's how the first season ended, and it wasn't. And that does bum me out, because I was riding high on this one for so much of it. But I don't have a problem with the designs. I don't have a problem with the music, which is why I'm being a little kinder than I anticipated to. I'm giving it a 7 out of 10, but that script is a huge drop for me. I understand. You have an impossible task to put 12 episodes of television into a singular film. I get it. That's a tall ask. But I'm still going to judge it as a film. As a way to sell me the anime, you bet I'm in. That of the manga, I'm absolutely going to like lap this story up. I loved that. But in terms of like, yeah, I wanted more of the character moments, which I'm sure the show would give me, or the manga. So there are things about this from a film aspect that this compilation film kind of fails. But at the same time, because the music is amazing, because the animation's amazing, because the story's pretty amazing, I still have to give it its just desserts. And so I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
All right, we're locked in here. For its importance as a kaiju contribution to the kaiju form, I've given it a lot of props for being a animated kaiju film that did technically get a theatrical release, compilation or no. And yeah, an original kaiju series that is kind of riding this wave of the kaiju renaissance. So yeah, I'm giving it very high marks, 9 out of 10. I think it takes the best parts of some of the most popular anime series. Like I said, there's a lot of Attack on Titan in here. There's a lot of Chainsaw Man and My Hero Academia. In fact, like, honestly, the whole training arc of the trainees their power level, their scaling and things like that. Felt very My Hero Academia. But it is using all that juice, that power of these popular tropes in Japan to bring kaiju to the forefront. And I just think it's great for the longevity of the genre, kind of introducing new kids to kaiju. And I don't think any other kaiju manga has really entered the zeitgeist, even in Japan, let alone in the rest of the world, like this one has. This has already spawned some imitators, maybe manga that we'll talk about on the podcast in the future. But our good friend Jared over on Blue Sky has mentioned there is both a transforming Godzilla manga that's coming, and a few other interesting mangas. I forget the name of the other one that he mentioned. I should just bring up Blue Sky right now. Yeah, Toho is going to do a Kaiju number 8 style Godzilla, like a kid transforms into Godzilla series. And then, oh yes, he also mentioned Gaia Tima the Gigantus, which is another new manga that's going to be turned into an anime soon. So yeah, it's popular enough that it's getting imitators itself. So I'm giving this high marks, Miles. What about you?
So I'm very torn on this because I hear you, and I think what you said isn't incorrect for the series.
Yeah.
But when I'm talking about the film specifically, I can't give the credit that belongs to the series to the film. And for me, this film does kind of fail the series in its inability to adequately come together as a full film. And so for that reason, I have to dock it a little heavier than you. If we're talking about the anime, I'm right there with you. 9 out of 10, no problem. Every day of the week. I think this anime is, from what I've seen, amazing. I cannot wait to watch more because I've already added it to my watch list on Crunchyroll. As a film, I think it is worth mentioning, but I would always be like, but I would personally watch the show. So for that reason, I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10.
Oh my, so low.
It is and it isn't, because it is still positive, but like I can't give the film credit that belongs to the show, if that makes sense. You know, if it ended more satisfyingly in terms of adapting the first season proper without that bit of Kafka turning himself in, I might be more amenable.
Okay, well that,
or if it had added. Like some new stuff, because a lot of times when you get these new movies, there's new animation, there's new stuff added in. Now, obviously, this is a brand new anime. They were just kind of chopping some stuff up, and this is a great looking anime, so there's not a whole lot for them to do.
Yeah,
but I have to kind of pause and be like, I will absolutely give the credit to the show, and if I'm in a conversation with someone at a party about kaiju stuff, I will bring up the show. Unfortunately for me, while the movie did make me want to watch the show, I am in.
I haven't watched a good amount of both and read the manga. I think it does a good job. So I understand that puts you at a 7.3, repeating, of course, out of 10. And I'm at an 8. And our podcast final gets up there 2 and 8, rounding up 4.
All right. So I'm going to give a 5 then.
Kaiju number 8. Mission Recon. I think if you watch the show, you'll be like, the movie's pretty darn good. The episodes 11 and 12.
Here's the weird thing. Again, I'm harping on the ending. You're right. The movie is pretty darn good. Well, I've had so much fun with it.
I'm saying 11 and 12, I think they just couldn't have gone into, because it's almost like more set up for season 2 than anything. Like, it introduces a whole new character that we haven't seen in the series so far. So, but yeah, I feel ya. This does energize me to want to go and watch it now, the show, from beginning to end, because I think season 2 is coming out.
I think season 2 is out.
What?
I think it aired in September.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, because it came out in July of last year, so that makes sense. It looks like January 21st was indeed the last kind of batch of episodes, so that was... Well, when we're recording this, about a month ago. So good time to get back into the show. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Kaiju number 8 Mission Recon, 8 out of 10. We will catch you next time here. You can, if you love Kaiju number 8, want to talk to us about it, you can find us on Blue Sky, email us at Kaiju versus History, or talk to us on Discord, the Cosmic Crit Podcast Discord. We have a whole channel for kaiju stuff. Miles is posting there pretty frequently. Whenever I find something kaiju that I love, I'm posting it. One of the most recent things that you posted was the Victory Dance Godzilla Funko Pop, which it will be mine.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get that one. You and I have both been pretty critical about Funko's Godzilla design, specifically for Godzilla. But that Victory Dance, I'm sorry. I know that the director hated it, or somebody hated it. It's been a while since we did that episode, but love that. It's one of my favorite things in kaiju history, so I need it.
Right, so that's going to do it for us here. What's happening next week, Miles?
Well, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. And we're going to catch you next time when we return to the hilarious and ultra-low-budget world of Shinpei Hayashiya. Can the acclaimed kaiju director of the Raigo series strike fool's gold again with a new ninja film? Find out as we dig into History versus War of the Ninja Monsters, Jaran versus Giraffe.